You don't want to be high like me, never really knowing why like me. You don't want to just step off the roller coaster and be all alone. You don't want to.
Hey guys, this is Aaron Parker, and I'm hanging out with Donald on his show, Nashville Hits Collecting Dust.
Hey guys, it's Nashville Hits Collecting Dust. Hey, thanks for tuning in. I don't know how much of kind of that randomness you heard because we haven't edited it yet, so we might put it all in. But if you haven't been listening, I'm sitting with Aaron Parker. Hey, man.
Hey, man. How you doing?
What's going on?
Just working, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. How long have you been awake?
I've been awake for about an hour now.
Well, nobody knows what time it is, but it's noon, so no big deal.
Big CMA week.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Well, excited to get you in because, so mutual friends of ours, Christina, she's one of my favorite people in the world. But she introduced me to you, and the first song that I ever heard is, it's a song that most people probably know, but not your version. And so I am excited for everybody to hear this. So I'm not going to give it away, but make sure you guys tune in till the end because this is going to be a treat. Hey, Chewy, you're back.
I'm back.
Dude, you've been gone.
And shall I say?
Yeah.
Better than ever.
Yeah. I've missed you. I'm not going to lie. I've done a couple episodes.
I've hated missing this. Like, I feel like it's just like my normal routine got screwed up and I just, it's not fair.
All right. Well,
and I'm sorry.
I was hurt. And so I'm glad you're back. So Chewy's back. And gosh, let's learn about Aaron because this is going to be, well, you're from South Alabama, right?
Yeah, man. Originally.
What's the name?
Daphne, Alabama.
I know Daphne.
Yeah. Right down there by the bay, the Gulf kind of area.
Y'all are, always really good at baseball.
And football.
Oh yeah, you're right. And football.
I played football, so I didn't really play baseball that much. But
I remember back in high school, that was always the big playoff. Like,
really?
Do you remember?
Because Dothan was probably really good at baseball.
We did well my year. I'm not showing my age, but you were not in high school when I was, and we were really good when I was in high school. But yeah, Daphne was always nice. Gosh, what brought you, tell us a little bit about your story as far as like when did music come in? You said you played football in high school, but like when did you start with the whole music career?
Man, I got a guitar when I was about 9 and for Christmas, obviously, and dad bought me a cheap one because he didn't know that I would actually stick with it, you know, that whole insurance policy.
Sure.
And so I took lessons for a couple years and loved the guy who was teaching me. I had a great teacher, but he just wanted to like keep teaching me like jazz stuff, and I was like, man, I really just want to play this song by Bob Seger. That's all I want to do.
Which one?
It was Night Moves.
And that, as long as you knew that one, you had this vision in your head that you were going to be at like at a party, one night, right? You were going to bust out the guitar.
Absolutely.
And it was just going to be you going to be
there. Make some Night Moves happen. You know what I mean?
I do.
So, yeah, I eventually quit lessons and went and just got a chord book out of the same place that I was taking lessons and taught myself in a way, I guess. Don't know if that's good or bad. I'm definitely not Keith Urban on the guitar, but I can handle it, I guess.
Well, you know, some of the write-ups that I've read about you have combined, like, legends when they talk about or describe, like, your voice. I've heard Garth Brooks, Kenny Chesney. Combined with like all these, I'm like, this is a lot to live up to. I'm excited for you because they just said this guy is a little bit of everybody. So
yeah, I love all those guys. I grew up listening to those guys and they're my 16th year, you know, like they are the people that I was driving around in that old Z28 Camaro listening to. Chesney, Tim McGraw, Garth Brooks. They had a huge influence on my country music. Soul and what I love about lyric and what I love about how a song is formed and how you deliver that to people. So they are, you know, kind of the epitome of country music. Though, you know, some people older than me would say Waylon Jennings and that group. And
yeah.
The girls nowadays would say Luke Bryan and, you know, Tim McGraw and that group was my year. So, yeah, they're the hierarchy right there.
I love it. Well, that's cool. I actually got to meet Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys.
Oh, cool.
I'm not gonna lie. I don't typically fan guy anybody, but I was not starstruck, but it was just kind of that, I can't describe the feeling. We were talking. I'm like, I'm talking to the Backstreet Boys right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, that's a thing.
It was a thing. And I don't really know how to describe it.
No,
it
I get, who's his brother? Aaron. Aaron Carter. Well, like I'll introduce myself. like at the awards last night, and you know, hey man, I'm Aaron Parker, and they'll be like, hey, come here, this is Aaron Carter, don't y'all to meet, and I'm like, no,
good you to just
meet
roll
you,
with
man.
It.
Good yeah, to meet yeah, you, bro. Just absolutely, go. Good to meet you, man. Good to see you.
So, all right, Dad bought you, or you know, guitar. We have guitar lessons, but when did you know? When was it like, all right, yeah, music is it for me?
Oh man, I didn't know till late because I played in a band, like a rock band, from like 10th grade to college. You know, the time before that, I was singing in church and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. My mom played piano for the church, so I was always up there doing that. 10th grade came around, I got in this rock band, shaved my head, and we just toured the whole Southeast and sorority and frat parties playing shows. And I went to college, thought I was going to do the college thing, thought I was going to go out and get a job. A buddy of mine at the college that I was going to was like, dude, you really need to go to Nashville. And I was like, man, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people up there doing this. I mean, everyone does this, I hear, and everyone's really good. And he was like, no, he's like, you're going to Nashville. And I was like, okay, whatever. So he went to Belmont on a scholarship, came back, called me one night. It's like, dude, I'm so in, I got this guy.
Yes.
And he's like, done stuff, and he wants you to play for him in his house on Music Row. And you got like 15 minutes and you can play for him. And I'm like, all right. So I've written a couple songs at that point in time, nothing miraculous. But I came up here and the guy basically was like, you know, why the hell aren't you in Nashville? Like, you should be here.
Really?
And he was a guy who'd done a lot with Warner Brothers International and a lot of, like, you know, it was the guy, the first guy that wasn't in my family or friends realm who had believed in me.
Yeah.
And that was a lot because he had no skin in the game. He could literally just tell me to leave.
And I've heard a lot of those stories too, by the way. Even people that are really good that will say have that opportunity. And a lot of times I feel like, especially like, there's never a number, but like, the first 10 times they were like, you're good, but.
Right.
Right? Like, sure. Typically, I don't know. I don't know if there's an equation for anything. I've just heard those stories where people hear, I guess they're spoiled or they hear so much good talent
sure.
that even they're just not afraid to go, hey, look, you're good.
Right.
But you're not, you know what I mean? That's typically the source. So that's awesome. If you came up 15 minutes and they're like, move here.
Yeah. Well, that went well. But after that, you know, we could talk about the lineage, the slump after that, you know,
wait, it wasn't all just uphill.
It was not all just uphill. Okay. No, man. Moved to town, moved to Murfreesboro, said I moved to Nashville. Like, sure. Was not in Nashville, found that out early on in the first couple months. Then I moved. I mean, I've lived like 8 places, Hermitage, Bellevue,
yeah.
Green Hills, all over. Yeah. And so that was,
you've my been to move. The suburbs of Nashville.
Oh yeah.
That's
when I finally got into Nashville. I lived in Green Hills. I lived in Harlan Howard's guest house. And Harlan Howard wrote like, She Called Me Baby for Patsy Cline. He wrote like so many, he was like the Dallas Davidson of that era.
Nice.
Wrote everything. And I lived in his little guest house over in Green Hills. Melanie Howard, his widow, let me live there. And that was like the first time that I was in town. So.
And now you are 3 doors down from me.
I am.
12 south. Figured that out just a couple
so
posh.
Ago. Aaron walks in and we're doing the introductions with Chewy. Kevin over here, super sick. Kevin McCarty. And within about 3 minutes realize that they legitimately live 3 doors apart.
Literally.
It's
and I
two,
don't
actually.
Use literally unless it's literally.
Right.
Yeah, because
you don't
there's
overuse
only
the
a
word.
Big house between us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only thing that separates.
It's like it, people ask and they're like, oh my gosh, we're pulling up and we see all these 3 houses. And then I was like, no, mine's this little white one.
Keep right coming. Now,
right.
Keep coming.
Keep going.
Keep coming.
I'm this little guy right here.
Yeah, but you have the big backyard.
That's
with
right.
The, I mean, the bonfires.
Pit.
It's really a community. Which kind of, I don't know what that says about you, Aaron. I mean, apparently you're not very neighborly because, I mean, Kevin and them have an open door policy. Really, anybody can walk in.
So, I mean, yes. Anybody can come in. And now that it's, you know,
and they
public,
do. We had to run a guy
we
out.
Won't tell the exact address, but now that we know, like, I think it's just going to be a short walk down the street. You come up and we'll hang out and Yeah, it's great. I think it's just been intimidating because I was like, they're clearly in a band. Right. There's the van. They're gone on the weekends. Like, I'll never get to see them.
Yeah.
They're rough. They look rough all the time.
At the same time, you live here, and it's actually a good point you just brought up. It's funny how we think, no, that literally could be like a huge band. You know, touring all the time, you might not even know it. So, hey, at least now we know our neighbors, Aaron.
That's right.
Awesome.
And I know that you don't live far either, dude.
Well, none of us really, when you actually moved to Nashville, you've not really been in Nashville. You've been in the suburbs of Nashville. And we joke about it a lot because I have friends that live in Franklin and Hermitage and whatever. And it's not out of town. But even 15-minute drive from downtown Broadway, it's like, yeah, we're not, no. You might as well live in Alabama.
It is true. There's a mental separation there.
Yeah. So welcome to Nashville.
Thank you, man. Awesome. I'm in. I'm here.
Well, I do have to ask this. I typically don't do this, but if you grew up in the state of Alabama, you are a college fan of one of two teams. Which one is it? Oh, gosh. So we're not.
House divided.
Oh, my gosh. Is it? We're having technical difficulties. We're just going to have to stop.
That's just going
to
get edited out.
We're just going to stop. We're going to pick up here. That's right? The beauty.
You're going to hear a plug-in of just
and
a
we're back with Aaron Parker here.
A great big Tiger fan.
No. We had some static going on there.
No, that's cool. I get that. Gosh, I can't
wait.
You know,
that's true. That's either or, man. That determines your friends when you're in grade school.
It really does.
Like the day you're allowed to wear your hoodie or whatever, you know, we wore uniforms as a kid, but the day you're allowed to wear your hoodie, your favorite team, man, like people segregate, they separate, dude. It's like, oh, well, we were going to hang out at the snack bar, but
no.
Now that I know that you root for the Tide, Aaron, I'm done. I don't know where this relationship's going to go. I'll see you in high school.
It's a true statement. In business, if you don't know, you don't bring it up. Like, it could help you, because if you're on the same team, you can close business because of that. But if you don't know and you end up being on different sides, you could lose business deals because if you're one or the other.
Yeah, you just have to be very observant of how the office is laid out, because if they are, it will be present.
You'll definitely know.
It'll be like a football sign by the giant, like Miami, Alabama historic painting. You know,
I'm sure Bear Bryant's in there somewhere.
Yeah. Yes. You know, you're like, row time, man, row time. Let's do this deal.
That's awesome. You know, as far as music, how many times, Chewy, have you heard the transition from, well, we, you know, grew up singing in church and then went to a rock band. Shaved my head, went to a rock band. I feel like that happens.
Yeah, you just rebel against everything.
Go the opposite.
Teenagers, yeah, man.
And then you come back to your roots,
right? Yeah, absolutely. Country music was always there. Country music was always what I love. The band I was in, they're actually... half of them are the Mulligan Brothers now. They're like a folk band. Yeah. Wow. And they're great. But yeah, we were like in a phase where no one in the group liked country music except me. So they gave me two songs I could sing, and it was Pickin' Wildflowers and it was Hicktown by Jason Aldean, which are both rock songs, basically, in how they're built. But they were like, awesome. This is all you get, man. You can't sing any of that Alan Jackson stuff here. So I was like,
that's cool. Well, catch us up to where we are right now. What's going on in your world? You just released a song on iTunes or released an EP, right?
Yeah, both.
Both of them.
Yes.
And what's the name of your EP?
Next Chapter. That was the second EP that I released, which really gave a change, a turning point, kind of a developmental view of what we've been doing. When I first came to town, I was very vintage. I still have a vintage soul, but sonically, my songs had this vintage thing to them.
Yeah.
And I wanted to bring that up to speed without it being like hokey, bring it up to like 2016, 2017 production without it being hokey. So this second EP really did a lot for me as far as developing the sound that I want to make. So we finally found that, and we're honing in on it now.
Very cool. You have done a remake of a song.
I did.
It's called I Took a Pill in Ibiza, and I absolutely love it. I mean, it's the country version of this. I just tell me the story. I'm going to shut up there and just tell me how this came about.
My friend, Shanna Henderson, she was on Glee, and she, you know, she came up to me and was like, we should do a video. And I'm like, sure, you pick it, we'll do it. And she was like, this song took a pill in Ibiza. I'm like, I don't know what this song is, but okay.
So you hadn't heard it before?
No, I had not. The first time I heard the song was his version. It wasn't the remix, which everyone knows the took a pill in Ibiza real quick, you know, EDM version. I heard the one where he's like just on an acoustic guitar, and I was like, wow, okay, so I could definitely make this country. This is very dialed back anyway. So we just took it in the studio, you know, literal, you know, 1 hour situation, made a track and filmed it up and sang it. And
I'm going to be honest. Like when I first saw, you know, the title and, you know, and then it was kind of explained to me like the country version before I heard the song, this is my first, you know, just mental thought was that I thought it was going to be kind of like a spoof of the song.
Oh man.
Does that make sense? Like I thought it was going to be that, Weird Al, you know, sort of kind of, we're going to not poke fun at it, but kind of, you know,
that would be a hilarious video.
Well, it would, but I'm going to tell you, played the song. I was like, Oh God, like just did not expect to kind of like love it. And then it ended up on like repeat. And then I had like friends over and like everybody in the room was like, hey, play that song again. And I promise I ended up playing it like 10 times that night.
Thank
and
you,
everybody was like, well, who is this? And what? And I'm like, right. I don't mean to sound that surprised, but like, that's just kind of how it happened with me. And it's like, it's like one of my favorite songs now.
That's amazing what a song will do. And thank you very much. It's amazing what a different arrangement, a different voice, a different angle on the same lyric will do. You know, I think a lot of songs are out there, like hence the podcast Collecting Dust. There's so many songs that just don't have the right demo behind them. They don't have the right voice interpreting the lyric. And it's just like, it will totally change the way you hear some of these songs in people's laptops.
You're right.
You know, no one's biting on them because, not because the song's bad, it's just because the demo's bad.
Right.
You know, and it's like somebody needs to rework that and like really think about it and go into the lyric and like emote it for you. And a lot of songs, it will change where they end up.
That's a great point. I don't know if we've had that kind of perspective on the show, but yeah, you're right. All right. Well, I have a few questions. And then if you don't mind, I really would love you to play that one live.
Took a Pill in Ibiza?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Let's see if I still know it.
You got to know it.
You can see if I still know it. I could definitely figure it out for you.
Yeah. Well, either way, that's happening. No, I have this kind of same three questions that I ask everybody that comes on the show. So there's no right or wrong, right? But if you could have coffee with yourself, like knowing what you know now,
sure.
I wouldn't call you, definitely not old, but you've been pursuing music. You've been in Nashville. You're on your second EP already. Knowing what you know now, if you could have coffee with yourself, you know, when you first decided, you know, to move to Nashville or that music was going to be your, you know, kind of career journey.
Sure.
What would you tell your younger self?
It's not personal.
Really?
What does that mean? I tell myself, because when you come to this town, you should expect rejection.
Mm.
You should expect and come ready and enjoying that.
Oh, wow.
You need to like learn how to enjoy that and relish in the dirt that gets kicked at you.
Nice.
Because it's not personal.
Yeah.
Like I'm meeting people now, who turned me down 4 years ago, and I'm doing deals with them now.
Wow.
The same guys, man, in the same spots. And the difference is that I wasn't ready.
Right.
I thought I was at the time, but you always have to think you are if you're actually going to get the thing. Sure. You know what I mean? You got to walk in like you own it.
Right.
And you got to sell it like you own it, but I wasn't there. And they came back around and were like, dude, this stuff now, what you're doing now is we really like this. And I'm like, cool, me too. So just, yeah, it's not personal, man.
That's
just
good.
And just like let it like water off a duck's back, man. Just,
I like it. How do I say this? Do you feel like now that the rejections are, you know, persevering or any of that kind of obstacles, if I were to, you know, come, is that something that drove you? Was it like not a chip on your shoulder, but you're like, all right, I'll show them type motivation? Or was it...
I've always had that, I think. I dealt with like bullies in school, in grade school. So, I mean, everyone has these little moments in their life that, you know, maybe it's a coach or maybe it's a teacher or maybe it's something that somebody told you, you're not going to be able to do that. You're not going to,
right.
You're not going to end up. Yeah. You and everybody else wants that dream.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Right. Like
why you?
You
right.
be able to get it. Right. And I think that's a little small town ish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's what kind of keeps people in those little small towns. And,
sure.
you know, my family's very supportive, but I had people over the years in those small towns that right when I was about to move to Nashville were like, dude, do you know like every bartender there writes songs, man? Like, why would you ever have a chance? And I'm here to say, like, bet on yourself.
Oh, that's
like,
good.
Bet on you. Bet on like your life because you have like a small time here. Technically, I mean, yeah. it's short.
Sure.
And why wouldn't you go for it? You know, like at that point in time, the worst that could happen to me as a dreamer was that I ended up back on my parents' couch.
Right.
Like trying to figure it out again. It's like, dude, pack your bed up. Let's go. Come on.
I like it.
You know?
That's awesome. I've always heard like there's only one guaranteed investment in life, and that's investing in yourself. That's sure. awesome. It's a good perspective.
I think the fact that, you know, I think we all three of us look at it a little bit similarly in the sense of, I almost like that there are people that say that stuff versus like the, oh man, you're going to get it and go and,
oh, for sure.
and you're like, go easy. It's going to be easy for you. Go do it. Like, I think those times when you have people that look at you and say, oh man, dude, there's everybody you talk to is doing the same thing. There's no way. Like, you're just another needle in a haystack. Like, you're not going to do it. I'm like, I love the fact that we look at life the way we do in the sense of awesome, because now I know that there's less people that are willing to put in the hard work effort and understand what it's going to take to kind of achieve that.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. And just like and every day.
Well,
and
it's
just
never been a negative, you know, people a lot of attribute that to like negativity or like someone saying you can't do it. That's not negative. Like that's not a negative thing. That's a natural progression. That's the way opportunity has always worked.
Yeah.
All opportunity goes through that. Anybody who's ever at the top of their game, if you really like sit down with them over like a drink, don't read the book. Like you maybe could read the book. Don't talk to their friend. Like don't talk to their manager. Like talk to them and like get those intricate moments where they were like, dude, I was thinking about going home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jason Aldean was planning on leaving.
Yep.
If he didn't get a record deal in this next showcase, he played like 1,000 of them. So, I mean, there's always like, you can identify opportunity by like what scares you. And now it's for me, it's production. I'll go in and with some of the producers that I work with, I'm trying to find the snare drum that scares me because that means I'm not comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to push myself and constantly be out of my comfort zone as far as lyric and as far as like production and lights and everything, because that's the only way to grow, right?
Sure. Man, that's just great advice. It leads into my next question, which you may have already said, but maybe you can give them credit. That's what you would tell yourself. It's not personal. What's the best advice someone else has given you that you've always kind of lived by? And like I said, you may have already given it to us, but
the best advice.
It didn't even have to be about music. I mean, maybe it's something your parents told you, but it's just kind of like that. Hey, best advice I ever received. This is how I live my life. Is this?
Oh, wow. You know, my dad gave me this advice. He was giving me this advice when I was little, and he'd take me to school every morning, and he would just chat with me. My dad's like really philosophical, and it's looking back now, it was really awesome. But he would always tell me to like, and this gets kind of deep, but Jim Rohn also says that Jim Rohn's like a well-known philosopher, success coach guy. He always says read both books. And make your own decision.
Oh, wow.
Meaning, like, don't just listen to what one person tells you. Because, like, he's just another man. Read the other book that says opposite of what he says. And then combine the information, positive, negative, make your own decision, and go with that. Because that's always the best. I think a lot of people are just like, oh, well, my cousin said it's impossible to do anything in Nashville, so therefore it must be impossible.
Yeah.
But then talk to a guy who's made it, right? And he's like, no, it's possible. Now you got a chance to make your own decision in the middle.
God, I don't know why that movie is coming to my mind now. Matt Damon. he's very smart, but he's a
general. Will Hunting?
Yes. God, could not think of that same life. I always remember he has a great quote in there. Yeah, I don't know. He's kind of, I think he's at the Harvard bar or something like that. And he's talking to the really smart book people.
Right.
And he asked the question and he goes, great. Now I know you just quoted back the book page 457, but what about your opinion? You know, I've always remembered that for some reason. It's like, there's a lot of book smart people, right? And sometimes people are book smart on just one book or one topic, right? But if I think you just hit a unbelievable just words of wisdom juice is that like, it's not don't study, obviously do your due diligence, but like still think for yourself. Like, give me your answer. Give me, you know, not just the book answer. Or that's just awesome. That's what I heard in that. And I just
Because a guy wrote that book.
That's right.
Like, everyone's like, where are these mythical books coming down? No, a guy wrote that.
Yeah. Someone physically wrote
it. So, like, your history book is probably an interpretation.
Right.
A guy or a small group of people, a committee's interpretation of how this history book is supposed to be written. There's a lot in between the lines there.
That's good.
So Go find the knowledge. I don't know.
It's like
free
it
in the library.
Yeah. if it's on the internet, nerd, it's true. So you know,
nerd alert.
Anything you read on the internet, yep, all fact based.
Right. Okay. Well, finish the statement. This is the last one. If just finish the statement. If you really knew me, you would know. It doesn't have to be serious or philosophical. It can be really funny. It could be a fun fact. But instead of just us kind of surface asking this, like, no, but Donald, if you really knew me, you would know.
I'm making this up as I go.
Like, that's the answer.
That's the answer. That's how I like to live.
I like that.
I fly by the seat of my pants. Once I lock in on something, I hone it and hone it and hone it. But then I'm trying to honestly cause uncomfort for myself all the time. I'm trying to live in that place. I'm trying to make phone calls that I'm terrified to make.
Mm.
I have to do that. I have to reach. And if I'm not, then I really feel like complacent. So yeah, I'm making this up as I go.
If you really knew me, you knew that I live life.
Aaron is making this up as he goes.
Listen, 99% of the statistics that I quote, I make up on the spot. I get it. Like, I live my life like that. I mean, so.
There's a lot to be said about that. If you can do it confidently, right?
It's all about the presentation. I mean, you can't say it with a question mark, but if you say it confidently, I'm like, oh, I was right. Yeah.
You know, them candles right there are made in Dothan, Alabama. And you're like, well, I'll be damned. I didn't know that. And they're like,
Communication is 7% of actually what you say, right? So,
right. That is awesome. Well, Aaron, man, thanks so much for coming in. I'm excited to just kind of watch your journey, especially now that I know you more. But what I'm really excited for is for you, if you have to figure it out right here, I don't care. We're going to hear this song. I Took a Pill in Ibiza, country version from Aaron Parker, because it's one of my favorite songs right now.
Cool.
If not the favorite song, right? If somebody asked me right now,
that means a lot.
Donald, what's your favorite song? I go, seriously, you may not. I Took a Pill in Ibiza by Aaron Parker.
Dude, that's
the
huge. Thank you very much.
So that is a true statement, and I'm excited to hear it live.
I wonder if it would be beneficial, your take on the song, as we were talking, prior to this, of I think a lot of people don't know it the way that you know it.
Sure.
In terms of the message and what it's sending. I don't know if...
Well, you brought up a good point. You're like, it's actually a sad song.
Very sad song. It's about a guy who got everything he wanted or thought he wanted and was still very unhappy. And as an artist, he goes back to his small town and people are telling him, how do we make it? And he's like, look, like, you don't want what I have to deal with, the pressures that I have to deal with, because I have like tasted or had the brass ring and like had these moments. It's like, it does something to you as an artist, because now the pressure lives on you. When he was telling his small town friends,
yeah,
like, y'all are good, man. Y'all like don't have any worries. Like, I have mass amounts of pressure on me. So it's, I love the song for that reason.
Great.
It's a great look into an artist's like cycle.
Yeah. It's a great message. I think if you had to walk away from most of why I even do this, Nashville Hits Collecting Dust, sure, or any other platform that I have, people ask me like, Donald, you you say a lot or you do it in different ways, but if you had to boil your message down to one thing, what would it be? And I think if what I want people to walk away from is to know this, that regardless of who you are or what you're doing, that like you're enough.
I love
it's very simple, but like, I think we live in a world right now where all of us, regardless of where we are in our career relationships, we just don't think it's enough.
Sure.
Right? Like we always need or have to have something else or more affirmation. And I think one of the perspectives I've been blessed to get living in Nashville for 15 years and being able to walk with, you know, a lot of friends that, you know, started with a backpack and a dream, sure. right? And now are selling out stadiums,
sure.
you know, don't get me wrong. Unbelievable amounts of fulfillment and perks in that, right? But there's also that perspective of, you know, if and when you have everything that the world has to offer, believe it or not, it's still not enough.
Absolutely.
If you think about it.
No, for sure.
And there's that perspective that it's, I don't want it to sound negative, and I don't want to sit here and say, yeah, so you shouldn't even try, right? You shouldn't even
right.
want this. That's not my thing. My thing is like, just don't put so much value and stock into things that the world has to offer. Cause if that's all you do, it's not enough.
Absolutely.
And as long as you know that you're enough just by yourself as Aaron Parker, regardless if you ever have a number one hit or not, right?
Sure.
If you have platinum albums or not, like at the end of the day, Aaron is still enough as Aaron. Like that's kind of my message. And that's why I tell these stories and to get these kind of perspectives of it. So that's a great take on that song. Cause honestly, I probably the other version before, you know, you and I talked, I thought it was just kind of
the EDM
a pop
version.
Song.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It was
yeah.
a EDM, you know, just kind of remix and it was a dance song. Right?
right.
I don't know if I ever really listened to that message.
The lyric can fly by pretty quick in that song. Or that rendition of it. You're just like, it doesn't matter. This beat is awesome. So I will dance to it,
that's
you
right.
know, and the chorus is very simple. So yeah, it can really pass you by if you don't sit down and listen to it.
Cool. Will you play it up for us?
Yeah, man.
Awesome.
I took a pill in Ibiza to show Avicii I was cool. And when I finally got sober, felt 10 years older, but forget it was something to do. I'm living out in L.A. I drive a sports car just to prove that I'm a real big baller, cause I made $1 million and I spend it on girls and shoes. You don't wanna be high like me, never really knowing why like me. You don't wanna just step off the roller coaster and be all alone. You don't wanna ride the bus like this, never knowing who to trust like this. You don't wanna be stuck up on that stage singing, stuck up on that stage singing. All I know are sad songs, sad songs, darling. All I know are sad songs. Songs. I'm just a singer who already blew his shot. I get along with old timers, but my name's a reminder of a pop song people forgot. I can't keep a girl, no, as soon as the sun comes up I tell them all loose, cause work's my excuse. But the truth is I can't open up, cause you don't wanna be high like me, never really knowing why like me. You don't wanna just step off the roller coaster and be all alone. You don't wanna ride the bus like this, never knowing who to trust like this. You don't wanna be stuck up on that stage singing, stuck up on that stage singing. All I know are sad songs, sad songs, darling. All I know are sad songs, sad songs. took a plane to my hometown. I brought my pride and my guitar. All my friends are all gone, but there's manicured lawns and people still think I'm a star. I walked around downtown. I met some fans on Lafayette. They said, tell us how to make it, cause we're getting real impatient. So I looked them in the eye and said, you don't wanna be high like me, never really knowing why like me. You don't wanna just step off the roller coaster and be all alone. You don't wanna ride the bus like this, never knowing who to trust like this. You don't wanna be stuck up on that stage singing, stuck up on that stage singing. All I know are sad songs, sad songs, darling. Sad songs, sad songs, darling, all I know are sad songs, sad songs.
I mean, Chewy's over there wanting to like, yeah, you can yell. That's not, what did I tell you?
Man, thank y'all for having me today.
Aaron, like, that was awesome.
That's so good.
You guys are great.
Like, I want to broadcast that.
This. Can we hang out?
Yeah.
All the time. We'll do this as many times as you'd like.
You come over to my house, dude.
I mean, vice versa, man. Like, if it's nice out, we'll do it in the backyard.
You, I mean, and... All right, so multiple things there. First of all, phenomenal voice. Phenomenal version of the song, but to be, gosh, completely honest, just phenomenal, like, words of wisdom, and thanks for sharing all that. Like, I think there's a perspective you gave on a couple of things that it's just, this is entertaining. I love doing this, but, like, this is value-added content, right? This is what I want people to listen and go, oh, I love his music, I love his song, but at the same time can apply whatever they just heard from you and actually implied it in their own life, even if it's not music. And that's kind of what you gave us. So thanks so much.
Yeah, for sure, man. I think it's all the same, really. Like, yeah. Music, real estate, whatever you want to do.
Right?
Like, it's really, the principles are kind of the same.
Yeah.
Once you get down to it.
I love it. Well, thanks so much for coming in. How can people find you, follow you, and all that good stuff?
Yeah, man. Follow me on Instagram at Aaron Parker, A-A-R-O-N, two A's. And on Facebook, Aaron Parker Official.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm the only Aaron Parker wearing a black cowboy hat. So. You have trouble.
You can find your stuff on iTunes. His EP is The Next Chapter, right?
Yes. That's and awesome. Spotify.
Cool. Well, hey, I hope this is not the only time we hang out. I want to have you back on. You cool with that?
Absolutely, man. Y'all let me know.
Sweet. Let's wrap
I'll
it up.
I'll walk here next time. I'll bring the dogs.
We know, hey,
that's right.
We know how to find you. So,
if it's in there, I know it. I see the cars outside.
The that's fan. Right.
Hey, thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
This has been HIT's Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.